May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we are halfway through our series of special sermons based on words and phrases from the Creed. If you've been following these closely, you'll know that the first tranche was just before Lent. We're now in our second tranche of sermons, and the third lot will be the four Sundays in September, and that should make 16 sermons in all. And the phrase we're looking at today is, on the third day, he rose again. Belief in the death and resurrection of Christ is the very foundation of the faith we profess, a historical event verified by the empty tomb and the reality of the various encounters with the risen Christ. Without Christ's death and resurrection, there would be no Christianity, full stop. And when the women went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, if anyone had asked them what they most wanted in the world, then surely it would be to get there and find that Jesus was alive, that the events of the past few days had been a dream or a misunderstanding. And yet sometimes when what we want turns out to be true, it can be deeply scary. After any death, it is the knowledge that there are tasks to be done that can keep us going. The registration of the death, the funeral preparations with the undertakers, the church on the crematorium. These are set duties which have to be performed and which engage our attention. And it was the same was true in Jesus' time. The women had to prepare his body properly. They hadn't had a chance to do it earlier because of the Sabbath. This shared task was holding them together. But when they got there, they were told that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And they were afraid, understandably so, as this flew in the face of logic and reason. I remember after my selection conference in Sheffield in 2002, waiting to see if I would be recommended for ordination training. About a week or so after I got back, I was pumping up a flat tire on the car when the phone rang. It was Bishop Graham. I was afraid. I was afraid the answer would be no, because nobody likes to feel rejected. But I was partly afraid that the answer would be yes, because I knew that it would change my life and that of my family forever. The implications were huge, and you may have felt the same, perhaps, about moving house or getting married or taking on a new job. Change can be scary. How much more, then, would those women have been afraid? If they believed the evidence of their eyes, it would mean that Jesus, whom they had seen beaten, dying, and buried, was now raised from the dead. For them, the implications of this were enormous, as they are for us today. It meant that the person they knew and loved really was the Messiah, the Son of God. It meant that all his teaching was true and that they were now, whether like it or not, in a different relationship with God. If they took this seriously, the whole of their life from now onwards would be completely different. And that difference would not just affect them, but would affect their families and friends too. And we are told that they were too afraid to say anything. This is where the original Gospel of St. Mark is thought to have ended, though more text was added later, giving brief details of how Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene and then to the others, including the disciples. This original enigmatic ending is a great challenge. It asks questions of us. What are we going to do about it? We have not seen the risen Christ. He hasn't stood in our bedroom at home and showed us his hands and his feet. We haven't been able to touch his side. He hasn't eaten broiled fish with us by Lake Windermere or walked with us to Natland or Burneyside or wherever. We have only the words of the gospel and the eyewitness accounts of those first disciples. And like the women, we could be afraid. But if we believe that on the third day he rose again, number three biblically represents divine wholeness, completeness, and perfection. If we really take on board that Jesus is not just a good man and a great teacher, not just a holy man, but the Son of God, then we have to accept the enormous implications that this has for our lives. We profess that on the third day he rose again. Therefore, we have hope, and we must live as people with hope. There is conflict throughout the world, Christians being persecuted, an increase in violence and knife crime. We could despair, but we profess that on the third day he rose again. So we must live as people with hope, working for peace and reconciliation. There is a rising tide of plastics poisoning the oceans. Global warming is escalating and rainforests are being destroyed at alarming rates. But we profess that on the third day he rose again. So we must live as people with hope, working to protect our environment. There are people dying of poverty and unavoidable diseases. The gulf between those who have and those who go without is enormous. But we profess that on the third day he rose again. So we must live as people with hope, working against injustice. If we believe, we live with the knowledge that darkness can be overcome and that heaven can be built here on earth. It means that every small deed that we do, a listening ear, helping a neighbour in need, supporting charity, donating to food banks or whatever, every deed can bring forward the time when, in the words of the prophet Habakkuk and in our opening hymn this morning, the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, the women and the disciples lived lives of generosity and sacrifice, lives committed to spreading the good news, bringing all into a close relationship with God. You and I in our time on earth may never know for certain. We may never see the risen Christ, but we do have a choice. We can choose to believe or we can choose to ignore. There's no halfway house. And if we choose to believe, we have to live lives of hope and generosity, following his teaching, knowing that this can make a difference to the whole world. Christ is risen, therefore we have hope and must live as people with hope. Without belief in the death and resurrection of Christ, all we are left with is an interesting story instead of the foundation for a living and active faith in a God who gave his Son that we might have eternal life. If Christ has not been raised, wrote St. Paul to the Corinthians, then our preaching is useless and your faith is in vain. Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection mean that our sins are forgiven, that death is defeated once and for all, and that we and all the created order really do matter to God. So every time we profess our faith in the Creed, let us not fall into that trap of saying the words by rote without thinking about what we are actually saying. Each word, each phrase is important, and none more so than our belief that on the third day he rose again, that Christ conquered death, that he rose on the third day from the dead, gives a living and eternal hope to us and to all the world. Amen.